Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
You're a listener to the show. Brewers didn't get the big hit. All right, see you later. Good night. That's all. See you later. That's it. What else is there to say? 10 runners left on base, 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position, twice left the bases loaded. Garrett Mitchell goes down looking in a big spot there. It was a close pitch. I mean, it was two outs. It was a rally out of nowhere. I mean, they didn't get the hit. They did not get the hit. There is nothing else to analyze here. Honestly, this is one of those games that you will drive yourself mad if you overanalyze and you over-freak out about one game. Did they play well today? Absolutely not. Bad game. Couple of mistakes. Cubs took advantage. Of the 8 hits the Cubs had, 4 of them were infield hits. The Brewers played as poorly as they could, and they still had the tying run at the plate in the 9th inning. I think that's more of a reflection of the Cubs than it is of the Brewers, given the great 2 games we just saw in Minnesota the last 2 games. But let me hear what you think. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 3-1 tonight to the Cubs. They never held a lead. Willy Adames kept this from being a shutout with a solo home run to lead off the 8th inning. Tobias Myers pitched well, but it's what he did that wasn't necessarily pitching is why he gets saddled with the loss. And the offense didn't pick him up. That is literally the story. The Brewers had 5 hits. 4 of them were for extra bases, and they only scored 1 run with the solo homer. So we could sit here and pull hair, which I don't have, and try to argue about what's going wrong. We will have some hard conversations a little bit later on in the show about the offense. A couple of guys that are slumping right now. Craig Kishon is going to join us in just a little bit as well. But I'm not going to overreact to this. I'm really not. And the glass half full take is simply it's 1 game. You can still win the series these next 2 days. The glass half empty take, it's like, well, you got Jameson Taillon and Justin Steele lurking. And they've handled the Brewers over the years. So it's like, all you got to do is win one. You just got to win one. It'd be nice to win the series, don't get me wrong. But all you got to do is win one. And then you've got the season series on the Cubs. I'd like to win every series, of course. And I'd like to never hear that song once again. But it's baseball. There's a reason we play 162 of them. If you listened last season, something that really stuck with me from Jeff Cirillo is that of the 162 games, really only 60 of them are swing games. And of those 60, 20 of them you're going to feel like you should have won when you lost. 20 of them are going to feel like you should have lost when you won. And then the other 20 are like, well, let's see what you got. And this was one of those games that you lost that you should have won. Oh, well, hang it up. No big deal. The Brewers lose. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. A lot of questions about Terang so far. We will get to him, I promise. But if you want to freak out about one run in Chicago after having back-to-back games with 8 runs in Minnesota, that's baseball. I don't know what to tell you. This is literally baseball. One odd stat that jumped out to me, though, from this. So the Brewers only allowed 3 runs, right? Which generally is going to win you games. But that's actually the 12th time this year the Brewers have lost a game allowing 3 or fewer runs. It's in the bottom 10 of baseball, most losses allowing 3 or fewer runs. Whereas, think about it last year, right? Where when the Brewers scored 4 runs, that was like their magic number where they had the best record in baseball. But now all of a sudden, even allowing, and it's happening rarer than it did last year, allowing 3 or fewer runs is suddenly becoming an issue. I don't think that's going to be a trend. I think it's just one of those anomalies, but certainly a weird one today. Going down the box score here real quick before Craig Kishon joins us here today. Tobias, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 were earned, granted unearned because of his own error, 2 walks and 6 strikeouts and 1 home run, a balk and a wild pitch. Busy line for him, 87 pitches, 61 strikes. No Brewer, the only Brewer that had multiple hits, I should say, was Garrett Mitchell. He went 2-for-4, but there were a lot of walks in this one. Contreras was on base twice thanks to a walk and a double. Adames on base three times with two walks and a homer. Then you had Frelick and Churio there in the 5-6 go combined 0-for-8. And was not their day at the plate to get anything done. We'll talk about Sal's placement in the lineup. We'll talk about Reese. We'll talk about a lot of things. That's coming up here in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
3-1 the final tonight. Brewers fall to the Cubs. Game one of a three-game series down at Wrigley Field. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon of Bally Sports Wisconsin and a long time here at WTMJ joins us now. Craig, I saved a lot of listeners some times when I opened up the show and I just said, hey, they didn't get the big hit. See you later. Good night. I mean, there's no other analysis, right? They didn't get the big hit. That's the story tonight.
Yeah, and it was frustrating to watch, especially through the two-inning stretch of the third and fourth innings, Dom. I mean, how do you draw five walks and not score? I mean, that is just flat-out frustrating. But unfortunately, this is a drought that this team has had all season long. And I guess you can just say, okay, maybe that's not the way to extend a winning streak. That's for sure, and it's going to come to an end in a hurry. But I don't know, dude. They were still in it to the very end, and that really is truly the theme of this team. They're, you know, my gosh, they had the tying run at the plate, but it almost didn't feel like it tonight with things not going their way early. And, you know, Myers pitched pretty well, but, man, he just had some things not going his way that, you know, were either on his feet and his arm, his throw, whatever the case may be, and, just did not add up to a victory, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk Tobias here then in this segment because, again, 5 1/3, worked into the sixth. I think he easily could have completed the sixth inning given the Brewers were down 3-0 at the time. After an infield hit on a failed scoop, they decided to go get him. And Hobie Milner, I don't know if I'll get another chance to shout out Hobie Milner today. Hobie Milner was fantastic, and he needed that to get back on the horse. But for Tobias, I marked down 3, maybe 4 mistakes that are like, hey, this just, you know, you just wear it. Like, he knows there are mistakes too. But the first mistake is the balk, obviously, in the third inning. Because you can directly attribute that to the run scoring in the third. I'm not mad about the Adames play. I know some folks say, oh, he's got to make that play. Like, that was a weird play. It took a bad hop. I know we're so used to Willie making that kind of play. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm not too worried about it because you only notice it because of the balk that put him in a scoring position.
Yeah, no, that play by Adames, you know, just looking at that, it's like, I mean, Willie makes that play 99 times out of 100. So I know some people like, well, I mean, that's got to be an error. Was that, you know, what's that a base hit? Whatever the case may be, those type of mistakes like right there shouldn't burn you because Myers has been pitching well enough to get through that. The balk was weird. I think he's had another one of those kind of slip off the or next to the rubber on the mound. You know, I just don't think those type of things should be happening in, you know, that point of the ball game either. I think you should have your spot dug out and have everything set by then. So to me, that's weird that happened for sure. The throwing error, he just can't have. These guys work on this almost daily, it seems. We see him at home a lot, and I know they do on the road as well. You got to make a play there and at the very least get an out. And then the wild pitch, you know, on an 0-2 count, you know, to the number 9 hitter. I mean, that's just hard to take as well. So, but you know, overall, you hate to have all of that add up on your pitcher who's also watching his guys leave 10 on base, you know, draw 5 walks and not score in it over the third and fourth inning and leave 6 on base. You know, does he put a lot extra pressure on himself? I don't know. Probably a little bit, but it's just too bad it all unfolded that way.
And then I'm not super angry at the wild pitch, and here's why. I think Williams' mechanics on that were terrible. And that's not a time that you go for the pick. That's a time that you just wear it. Get in front of it, man. Like, that's one of those that a catcher would be proud to stop. I'm not saying he should have stopped. It would have been hard to stop. But I did not. I thought that William should have had a better effort on that personally. I'm not saying, like, oh, my gosh, that's the reason they lost the game. I just thought, I think William would tell you the same thing. Like, I need to stop that ball. I know he choked the changeup on 0-2, but William would tell, I need to stop that ball. And then furthermore, I'm more mad, not so much at the wild pitch, but walking Miguel Amaya in the eighth spot, the only reason he's hitting eighth is because PCA is hitting ninth. And those are two of the worst qualified hitters in baseball right now. So walking the eight-hole catcher who's hitting below the Mendoza line, that's a mistake on Tobias that I know he can remedy.
Well, right. I mean, you look at 8-9 in the Cubs order tonight. They reached base four times, and they came in hitting 217 and 189 respectively. So you're not going to get them out every single time, but they shouldn't be on base that often, that's for sure. And unfortunately, something like that just, you know, just kind of ignites the top of the order again when they're coming up with guys on and stuff. So again, we're talking about a lot of frustrating little things here in this game, but unfortunately, when it's only 3-1, and it could have easily been, you know, a Brewer victory with, you know, one of your best pitchers, clearly, in Tobias Myers. I mean, this guy has been really, really good. And I guess I'll just finish this, you know, with Myers, Dom. Pitchers need to go through games like this and learn from them as the game is going on, not so much learn from them when the game is over. And I think he learned a lot throughout this game, because I think, you know, overall, the greatest positive about this is he pitched through some things that don't happen every day to pitchers. And some of it was on him, and maybe some was on what the Cubs were able to muster. So you learn from it, and I think he still pitched well when it's all said and done at the end of the day. And you can't feel terribly bad about this loss, for him anyway.
I agree. And then furthermore, I think with the pitch selection, I would have liked to see the changeup mix in a little bit more today, but the slider was really good. Once again, 17 strikes out of 22 sliders thrown, only three whiffs on it, but was getting weak contact. Like we said, of the eight hits today for the Cubs, four of them were infield hits. Today's game, Tobias is not the reason the Brewers lost the game. The offense is. Tobias, I would say, probably should have the run expectancy, if you will. If he completed six innings, I would have taken two runs in six innings every single day. And that's probably what he was on pace for, given it was two earned runs into the sixth. Wasn't his fault tonight. Let's talk about the offense. The offense is the real thing. That's coming up next. A couple of texts asking about it, specifically about Bryce Terang. Let's have a couple of conversations about the lineup and what the Brewers offense is going through right now. They lose today 3-1, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, with the loss, a few more things to talk about here. Craig Kishon is with us. I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620. You can text, you can call, you can hang out with us here until 11 o'clock tonight. Craig, the number one question on my Twitter right now and on the text line here is Terang. Bryce Terang, when do we have the conversation about Bryce Terang, maybe for one, getting a day off, because that's where I'm going to start. And number two, getting out of the leadoff spot. For me, I would start with a day off, maybe two. I would like to see him in there tomorrow, because you've got the righty Jameson Taillon in there. But give him the day Wednesday. He has not had a day off since May. Okay, I mean, he has come into games, even in games that he is not starting. Last time he has had a full day off was May 22nd against the Marlins. And even then, the previous two games, he wasn't in the starting lineup, because remember that series, the Marlins started three lefties. And Terang has played in every single game since then. That is now going on 55 consecutive games. With the lefty going on Wednesday, perhaps you give him the day then. But that's where I'm going to start before I take him out of leadoff spot. I think Terang needs a day or two here. And I pick Wednesday, Craig, because you get the double off day. You get the Thursday off day in addition to his off day.
Right. So, yeah, but it doesn't do anything for him for tomorrow if he really needs a blow. That's for sure. But you know what? I do agree with you on that, Dom, as far as where you start with him. And I honestly didn't realize that he had that type of a streak going for consecutive games started. And he's been in different spots in the lineup. Maybe tomorrow you move things around a little bit here and you know, try to shake things up a little bit here, because this was a tough day for the offense for sure. But, you know, Bryce Terang, I'll be honest with you, the job that he has done in the leadoff spot, you know, really for the most part this year, you can't get on every single time, and there are going to be games, you know, your leadoff hitter is going to be an ofer. But you don't want that stretch to go on for very long at all. That's, you know, that's his case. So, yeah, I'm all for giving him a day for sure. I'm all for, you know, if that's Wednesday, then mix things up a little bit. You know, they've got, you know, a guy like Rhys Hoskins again is having a hard time, you know, just getting on base. I know he drew a walk here today, but Rhys is having a tough time as well. And Garrett Mitchell, I don't know if he's starting to find himself a little bit or not. So there are some holes, and sometimes, you know, like if you look at this lineup today, you know, there are some holes every, you know, two or three batters. So what do you do when you get guys on? I think that's kind of what we saw in that third and fourth inning, where a lot of guys had opportunities, but sometimes those holes kind of showed up here a little bit. And Sal's been real hot too, Dom, and he was 0-for-4 in today's game. So and Jackson Chourio as well. So mm-hmm. I like where you're going with Bryce Terang for sure. I like where you're going with that.
You know
idea.
What? And you got me going on the Sal and Jackson thing, because that's the only thing really in my mentions. People complaining about Sal Frelick. Okay, not everybody's going to have a 15%, 99th percentile barrel rate, hit the ball hard, or do that. Like, there are multiple ways to be valuable in baseball. And as a nerd, I'm telling the other nerds, stand down, man. Click off of Baseball Savant. Go watch a game and tell me with a straight face that Sal Frelick is not valuable. Oh, because his sliders on Baseball Savant are all blue. No, stop that. You don't know ball. Because the reason the Brewers, he struggled today. No doubt about that. Him and Chourio, 0-for-4. Here's the thing, Craig, I'm ranting now. But who would you want in the bases loaded right now over this last month? The two hottest hitters were hitting 5th and 6th for the Brewers today. Chourio had a great weekend. Sal's hitting over 300 for the last month plus. They both didn't get it done today. That doesn't mean you blow it all up. And part of the reason Sal has to bat 5th, Craig, is the guy that you brought up, Rhys Hoskins. He's all the way down to 7th in the order. And let's be honest, too. He should be batting 5th, but the performance has not backed that up.
No, it hasn't. And it's, you know, look, I'm looking at, you know, his offensive production, 15 home runs, 48 RBIs. But this guy is, you know, I don't even know what his updated numbers are after this game today, but it was 216 coming in. That's just not what he needs to be doing here right now. We all know that there's you know, the potential for him to have a hotter second half, and I think that's what we're all hoping for here right now. But to me, I just look at his situation, Dom, and he's a good first baseman too. It's not like he's a gold glover over there. I just look at his situation and I wonder. I know they invested a lot in bringing him in here for this year, but do you go out and is this one of the targets perhaps for your offense is gaining some help? And do you put a guy over at first and do you hope for better things? I'm not sure, but it's got to be running through the Brewers' minds here a little bit.
Well, the other thing, I mean, it's a player option next year, too. I mean, he could stick around for $18 million. I mean, it's he's probably sticking around at this rate, and the Brewers have to figure it out there. And then, you know, people say, oh, you got to get Rhys out of there. I'm like, okay, your backup first baseman is Jake Bowers, and everyone wants to cut him, too. So it's like actions have consequences. Each move, like you say, all right, let's take Terang out of leadoff spot. So who's going to bat leadoff? Garrett Mitchell? Okay, then who's going to be batting at the bottom of the order? Terang? Okay, fine. But then what happens when Rhys is struggling and you put him down in the seventh spot? And it's like, well, everything has an action, you know, equal and opposite reaction. You get what I'm saying here. Craig's just like, it's not plug and play. This is the personnel that was supposed to be successful for the Brewers. I'm not going to overreact losing one game to the Cubs after having such a great weekend. But, like, hey, this is the personnel. This is what they want to use the rest of the year.
Exactly. And let's face it, we know that this team is offensively much, much better than it was a year ago. What did they score, 24 runs their last three games during this three-game winning streak, something like that? I mean, they're capable of having big stretches of offense. And to me, all right, you get good stretches, you know, of pitching, and your offense can put up some runs. You're going to hopefully win some playoff games instead of being on the other end of these, you know, 1-0, 2-0 losses, whatever they were before. But, you know, this team could still use some pitching before the trade deadline. I know that they're going to get some back off the injured list. They'll get there, though. But this offense, I just, you know, look at this game today and I say, hopefully just everything kind of went into not working out, so tomorrow they can come out fresh and go back to hitting the way they were and what they're capable of doing as well.
Yeah, to address the text here from the 608 area code, they just had the All-Star break. How could he need a day off? Sometimes when you're able to watch the game from the dugout, get a breather, see the game, slow things down for you, that's more important than just sitting on your couch for 4 days like you were in the All-Star break. You're still hitting, you're still working out, you're still doing that stuff during the All-Star break, but sometimes you just need to get a little breather from your game prep and that sort of thing. And the Brewers do have a few off days coming up as well. That's what I mean when it comes to Terang. If folks think that that's not cool, like, I'm sorry, it's 162 games. You can afford one. I mean, that's my take on that. And I'm fine with giving Terang a day because the Brewers are not in this position without Terang with what he did in the first 2.5 months of the season. He's in a cold stretch. Try to find a way to solve him out of it as opposed to sending him out there. Go figure it out. That doesn't work for everybody.
Well, and I think the point, too, that you bring up, especially just the fact that you can be in the dugout and watch the game from there, have a greater, awareness for what's happening on the field from that perspective and with your other teammates who are in the dugout with you. There's just a lot that goes into having a day off while everyone is playing versus having a day off when everyone else has a day off as well. And you can just say, well, we didn't have anything scheduled today, so I'm going to be fine. Having two straight days off, you know, just the fact that after watching, learning some things, all these young guys need this right now. Veterans need it, but I think especially young guys. So we'll see what they do with Terang here over the next couple of games and see if they can match something up to that off day on Thursday too.
All right, Craig Kishon. There's not much else to talk about with this one. Appreciate you as always, my friend. You will be talking to Greg Matzek, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow here on WTMJ, and then we'll talk to you again sometime soon, okay? Thanks, Craig.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right, Craig Kishon on the program. Got a couple more thoughts here with the lineup and trade deadline questions that have rolled in here as well. We'll talk about that coming up next, 1 week away from tomorrow, the trade deadline. What are the Brewers looking for? That's up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Hello again, Don Catronio here on location. Undisclosed, I should say. Just kidding, I'm in New York City. On assignment for TBS Subway Series tomorrow, so that's why I'm off from the postgame show tomorrow. But the Brewers fall today 3-1 to the Cubs. A couple of texts here asking about the trade deadline, 855-616-1620, again 855-616-1620. One name that has been popping up a lot, I've said his name as well, Garrett Crochet. An industry source told me earlier this week, the price is still absolutely stupid for Garrett Crochet right now. I don't see the Brewers doing that. Eric Fetty, I feel like Eric Fetty would just be another Aaron Civale. And I think Aaron Civale gives you more upside plus the extra year. You've already made that trade. So I don't see the Brewers doing another one for Fetty. You also have to remember, Joe Ross and DL Hall are on the way back. Their roles to be determined. Ross can start games. Hall will maybe go once or twice through the order. I don't see him being used as a traditional starter, maybe even as a reliever by the end of the year. But the Brewers have arms on the way, and I'm not trying to give you the PR company line. Like, oh, it's the best trade deadline acquisition is getting Devin Williams back. Like, no, I mean, it's nice to get him back. Don't get me wrong, but that doesn't count as a trade deadline acquisition. I was asked earlier today on Wisconsin's Morning News, like, give me a pipe dream, but like also like, could it actually happen, of a pitcher that the Brewers want at the trade deadline. It's a name that I've just been floating myself. I do think the Blue Jays will trade him, and that is Chris Bassitt. Chris Bassitt had a slow start to the year. He's an innings eater. He's got an extra year of control. However, it's a pretty penny. So how much money would the Blue Jays chip in order for Bassitt to come to the Brewers? Do you flip him this offseason? These are things that the Brewers could figure out. But when it comes to the pitching, the Brewers are pretty full. And don't forget, the Brewers are serious. I asked Matt Arnold this right before the All-Star break. Like, hey, is Jacob Mizrowski being considered for the big leagues, you know, at some point this year? And Matt Arnold answered me with a very clear and a very simple yes, he is being considered for the big leagues. Want to put him in bubble wrap right now. He's been fantastic. In case you missed it, Mizrowski previously, he hasn't pitched in 12 days because everybody has the All-Star break too. Mizrowski had back-to-back 10K strikeouts, back-to-back 10 strikeout games. His walks are down. His last seven starts, he's been fantastic. Don't lose sight of Jacob Mizrowski coming up. And all of this means like there's moves and there's 40-man rosters and there's all this stuff that needs to do. So the Brewers are a little bit full when it comes to acquiring a starting pitcher. It would take a pretty penny to get one. It is a seller's market right now. Crochet, Fetty, Anderson, Bassitt. I don't think Scherzer will be traded, but he's said that before, then he's been traded, so I don't know what to think of it with that. I just think the Brewers are done. I really do think they're done. I hope they're not, because it's fun to talk about trades, but I think the Aaron Civale trade was the trade that they wanted to make. A guy with an extra year of control, so that if things get back on the rails with him, you can look ahead to next year, where you have Brandon Woodruff back in the fold, Freddy Peralta, Colin Ray, hopefully Jacob Mizrowski, hopefully D.L. Hall, perhaps Tobias Myers now, given how well he's pitched this season. And then you've still got considerations on guys on the way, like Brett Witrowski, and maybe Aaron Ashby can get back on track some point sooner. That sort of thing. So they are, you're never going to say no to depth, but there are some hard decisions that would loom with the trade deadline. First base, everybody needs first base, or everybody that wants first base help hasn't been getting it. I don't think Pete Alonso will be traded, let alone here to the Brewers, given David Stern's relationship. But I really do think the Brewers are done. They might make a fringe bullpen move like we've seen them do over the years, but I really think they're done. So, sorry to be a Debbie Downer, but that's what I foresee here with the trade deadline coming up a week from tomorrow. Next Tuesday is the day that the non-waiver trade, or I guess the only trade deadline now. There used to be the waiver trade deadline at the end of August. Now there's just one trade deadline. Nobody else can be traded after this. Then you still have guys that can be DFA'd and claimed and that sort of thing. That's a whole other topic for another day. So that's my little trade deadline talk. Up next, we're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. But first, I want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, Sider is offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your at-home comfort is a top priority. Visit Sider.com today. That's Sider.com. We'll hear from Murph coming up next on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Well, today wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. Brewers made a few mistakes, and the Cubs took advantage of all of them. Ian Happ hit another homer against the Brewers, because that's what he always does. And the Brewers only scored one run. At least Willie went yard. Pat Murphy had some thoughts, shared very openly with the media today after the loss 3-1 to the Cubs in Game 1 of the series. Here's Pat Murphy.
We didn't come up with a big hit. We did a great job in some areas. I think our youth showed tonight. You know, Tobias was fabulous. He threw the ball great, but the balk, the wild pitch with an 0-2 pitch, with bases loaded, and obviously throwing the ball away at second. You know, that accounted for two of the three runs, and And then he gave up the home run, but he had the kid struck out 0-2. That was really, really close. Didn't get the call. And then another close pitch, and then that was a ball. And then gave up the homer. So I thought he did a great job. And with, you know, him taking care of the ball there a little bit and then giving up a couple infield hits too, like I thought he would have been maybe into the seventh even. You know, our bullpen was a little taxed tonight, but Milner did a great job. And, you know, credit to the Cubs. They played in the clutch. They did what they had to do, and they pitched great. You know, there were six different guys, and they kept us at bay. We had opportunity and, didn't get that big hit.
When you say your youth showed through, do you mean just Tobias?
Yeah, that stuff. Yeah. I mean, and there was some youthful at-bats, you know. Early swings, we had a guy in the ropes, 33 pitches in the second. You know, like, we got the guy in the ropes, we got some early swings, first pitch. You know, Mitchell, first pitch ground out, and Cheerio pitch, two-pitch at-bats. Those are just young players that haven't been in the big leagues very long. Mitchell's probably got 60 games in the big leagues, and Cheerio's probably got 90. So it's just like youthful, not understanding it a little bit. Even Terang, the one-strike bunt, like, why would you peel out of there? I mean, like, take your time. It's a ball. The reason you're bunting with one strike is because it's wide open. So take your time, make sure it's a strike. You know, there's just little things we didn't do. But, you know, we're coming off, you know, playing really good offensive baseball. So sometimes you got to credit the other team, too. Thought they had a couple of relief pitchers do a really, really nice job. And we still were right there. We still had tying run at the plate again. Yeah. So.
Was that play really made? That was our play he didn't make on the grounder to start third. Was that one you thought he should have had?
Yeah, the ball was hit hard with a funny spin. You know, I've seen him make those type of plays, but that's a base hit. Right? They scored it a hit or they scored it? Yeah. That's a base hit. But then the balk after that set up the run, you know. Then the wild pitch, and then the 0-2 wild pitch, and then the William made a great play to respond to it. But then the throwing it away at second base, I mean, that's just baseball 101. You know? But so that's why I mean youthful. A couple. Tobias was pitch great, but threw the ball great, but I made some mistakes.
What's going through your mind on a night like this where you're kind of just letting opportunities slip through and shooting yourselves in the foot?
Like, how do I feel about it? Or, like, what's going through my mind?
Yeah, I mean, just the balance of, you talk about this is a young team, and it's got to be some frustration.
Oh, yeah, it's frustrating and it pisses you off, but you understand it. I mean, you understand it's part of the game, and you understand it's part of these guys growing up, and this is a great environment to play in, and they're going to have to learn how to play in these environments. They're going to have to learn how to, you know. But to their credit, we made big pitches and did great things to put ourselves in the game. You know, never felt like we were playing good, but we were in the game, you know. And we get a guy at second base, and then we just didn't, you know, we didn't have perfect at-bats, but, you know.
For Terang, it's only his second game with three strikeouts this year. What do you just make of this little stretch that he's in?
Yeah, he's going through it. I mean, he's never played this many big league games, you know what I mean? And he's had a fabulous, fabulous season. He still defends with anybody. And, you know, he hit some balls really, really hard in Minnesota, and had a clutch hit in Minnesota to help us win a game, and he's hit some balls really, really hard. The ball he hit in Minnesota, 411 feet, is a home run in 28 other parks or something like that. And would have, you know. So I'm not worried about him at all swinging the bat. When he starts making bad outs, they pitch him pretty tough. You know.
Yeah, the league makes adjustments on everybody. That's something to really keep in mind. Including on Bryce Terang. It's hard to stay hot in the big leagues, especially in your sophomore year. Here in the month of July, Terang's now just hitting .156, 10 for his last 64. So that's part of the reason why I say, hey, let's let him watch from the dugout, see if he can see something, learn something, and figure things out from there. Up next, normally we would play highlights. Well, There was one, but that's really it. So we'll talk a little bit more about the game and then get you ready for Tuesday and the rest of this week. Here's the Brewers fall 3-1 on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I don't want to be all doom and gloom tonight. The Brewers lose. They avoided the shutout thanks to a big swing from their captain, Willy Adames.
Hodge working out of the windup brings home the pitch and a high fly ball deep right field. Suzuki back at the track. Gone! Willy Adames gets the Brewers on the board here in the eighth.
Willie's played in every game this year. He's getting hot again. We see this. He ramps. He goes up and down. This is the guy that we have seen for three straight years. Willie's batting average is up to 249, which is above league average. His OPS is 774, which is 80 points above league average. He leads the team with 16 homers. He's got 24 doubles, which, if I'm not mistaken, is tied for the team lead, I believe, with William Contreras, who hit his 24th tonight. That is the case. So they both have 24 doubles. He's tied for the team lead in doubles. He has the team lead in homers. He has the team lead in runs batted in. He has team lead in walks, mind you. He drew two more tonight. And oh, by the way, he's got 12 stolen bases. I mean, there's a chance that Willy Adames puts together a 2020 season. Just a little Willy Adames love appreciation here at the end of the show because, look, we're 8 days away from him staying a Brewer for the rest of the year. And I've put my money where my mouth is. I said, Willy is not going to be traded. They are not trading Willy Adames. And I'm excited to, like I said, maybe he'll, you know, we'll shake hands and say what's up next week after the trade deadline. And I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a weight lifted off his shoulder because he's playing great right now. And he's part of the reason the Brewers are still successful to this point. This is our last segment of the show here. The Brewers, again, reminder, they can win the series next two games. Jameson Taillon goes tomorrow. Justin Steele goes on Wednesday. The Brewers tomorrow will counter with Colin Ray. TBD for Wednesday. Pat Murphy earlier today hinted that the player who will start that game might already be in the room. So to me, that tells me it's probably a Bryce Wilson or a Jacob Junis day for one of those guys, not one of the rehabbers like D.L. Hall or like Joe Ross. They would come back potentially on the homestand. But for the Brewers, you win one of these next two, you claim the season series against the Cubs. You win both of them, you claim this series and the season series and continue to gain ground here in the National League Central. Furthermore, even though you lose today and you felt like you played like crap, you didn't lose anything. You're still up by five games on the Cardinals. The Pirates beat the Cardinals today, and this was a text earlier, a tweet earlier. When do we worry about the Pirates? I've been worried about the Pirates. I thought the Reds would be doing what the Pirates are doing right now. But instead, it's Pittsburgh. They've won 8 of their last 10. They win again today. They've got Paul Skenes going tomorrow against St. Louis. So, good luck. They're starting to figure it out. If they acquire a bat, if they go make a move that's a splash, which, who knows, look out. Because they're for real. And the Brewers see them one more time that final week of the season in September. So, right before that final homestand. It's their last road games of the year. A three-game set, in Pittsburgh. It's always tough to play in Pittsburgh. Rain delays and stuff like that. But keep an eye out for Pittsburgh. I think that they are not going anywhere. And you figure Jared Jones will pitch again at some point this year. And we know what he's capable of. So look out for them, to say the least. So the Brewers still five games clear here in the Central. Same time, same place tomorrow. 7:05 first pitch. Brewers warm-up will begin at 6 o'clock Central Time here on WTMJ. I will not be with you tomorrow, though. As I said earlier, it is Greg Matzik getting the call tomorrow, getting the show here. Or is it Bob Brainerd? I should have double-checked that. But anyway, it won't be me. No show on Wednesday. Thursday night, we've got Brewers Weekly that night. So we've got an hour-long show, 8 o'clock on Thursday night. And then the Marlins come to town, first home games of the second half, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a six-game homestand that opens against the Marlins and the Braves. So that's all what's on the horizon here for the Brewers. Colin Ray will try to right the ship tomorrow and get things back on track for the crew. That's going to do it for me here tonight. Thank you for staying up late and listening for us tonight. For my producer, Nate Rilling, my name is Dominic Catronio. Back tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.